Well, we're still in that mode. You just don't know how uncomfortable. I'm so out of my comfort zone walking up here without a Bible. And I was going to bring my Bible just to read one verse. I was going to bring my Bible, you know, arguing. None of you ever argue with the Lord, and I know He's glad about that. So fine, as I pulled in the parking spot out there, how final is this? Leave it in the car. Okay. And I thought I was going to have to leave my phone over there, but there's something on here that He wants me to read today. So now the reason for this is He is having me in my gift lean on Him in every service. And thank God for the Word. I'm never going to abandon the Word, but He's wanting me to demonstrate following Him, hearing Him, following Him. This is in my gift as a teacher. And it's been having an effect. We've been getting some amazing emails from around the world. It's been helping people. But now this morning, I knew what I was hearing, and I have a pretty good idea what He wants to say today. And then Mark comes up. Come on up here, Mark. He understands about when you're getting ready to minister that it's important that that's not the time to come and talk about you found a new place to wash your car or something, you know. But he says, I don't know if this really has to do with today's message or not. But he had two sentences. He said, here's what I'm hearing. And I went, well, that is the message. So if you don't mind.
God's specialty is using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And the other one is dare to believe.
Okay, I think the Lord would have you go ahead and see, He has that first one posted at His Facebook page, but it's longer than that. And I feel like, go ahead and give the rest of it, please.
God's specialty is using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Dare to believe that the promises in God's word are for you. Dare to believe that you really are righteous in His sight. Dare to believe that God loves you and is pleased with you. If you can believe those things and shake off the chains that have kept you bound, your faith will cause you to rise up and soar like an eagle.
Yes, sir. Amen. It's good to have multiple witnesses and multiple voices. And say it with me. God's specialty is to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. To use ordinary people to do miraculous things. To use ordinary people to do impossible things. Because all things are possible to those that believe. See, learning to follow and rely upon the strength of the Holy Spirit is absolutely mandatory for where we're going. Now, what I heard this morning, the first thing that I heard, revival is coming, ready or not. Many want revival, but many are not preparing for revival. And this is the 830 group. What's amazing, the faces that I see here, not everybody is close enough, you know. But many of the faces I see at the 8:30 service are the ones I see here at corporate prayer times. Some are on special assignment. We understand that. Here's what I saw this morning, praying in the Spirit. See, revival. Let's talk revival. And we're talking Joel's army, where he is moving the body of Christ from the receiving side of the prayer line, if you'll allow me, to the giving side, the anointing side of the prayer line. It's wonderful. We all got to watch Dave, and we sat there like you could almost have popcorn and a Coke, you know. And, you know, watching as Dave, the Lord would use Dave in the gifts and beyond the gifts. And it's wonderful. Thank God for the healing revivals from the 50s and 60s. And there, I watched those of Catherine Kuhlman, you know. And there's an internal dialogue going on with her that I'd say I'm jealous of. Her relationship with the Holy Spirit is so vastly far beyond where mine is right now. But she's just being Catherine, you know. One thing I love about her, she says people would accuse me of being dramatic, you know. And she does kind of have that, you know, she had those long sleeves and the Holy Ghost, you know. But she says, if you talk to her sister, she'll tell you, that's just Catherine. She wasn't doing that to put on, that's just who she is, you know. But I watched this internal dialogue as the anointing would begin to flow. Now, she would teach. Wonderful. She also taught without a Bible. Amazing. I never noticed it until now. But she would teach, but when the miracles began to flow, there's an internal dialogue going on there, because she would say, now there's a, like many of the ones I've been watching were at the Maybe Center over at ORU. Most of you have been there at some time in your life. Thousands of people in there. And all of a sudden, she would go like this. Someone right over there, halfway up, about the center, your arm just got healed. Oh, and the person sitting right next to that person, your hip got healed. And I'm thinking, how does she know that? Not only that, how does she know where they're sitting? And you know, it was kind of like Alan talks about the first time that Dave, one of the early times that Dave came and did a service there in Tennessee when Alan was still working at Norville Hayes' ministry. And it was a deaf ear. And Dave kept saying, someone has a deaf ear. What's amazing, those of us that have watched Dave, how often would he be standing right in front of the person? You know, someone here has a whatever. And he may have to stand there 5 minutes and keep calling it, 10 minutes, keep calling it. And finally, the person would be the one sitting right in front of him, or maybe one row back, but right directly in line. You know, it's just so often that would happen. Well, Catherine has got something going on here with the Holy Ghost, see? It's a dialogue. It's beyond words. It's a knowing. I don't think she heard the words, look to your left, halfway up. It's more like that conscience thing that we've been talking about. His voice comes through that same gate. Your conscience can convey a lot of information real quick. And it's not in your known language, but you understand it perfectly. It's a walk similar to that. And see, if he's going to use you and me, Joel's army, like that, you can tell our relationship with him's got to change. Isn't that right? Now, it starts with the gifts. He's told us plainly in all those 9 prophecies, and now they've got all 9 on the homepage at Dave Roberson Ministries now. It's in that little box kind of in the upper right quadrant. All 9, including the one that I'm going to read part of today, which is Move Out of My Authority. Because we've got to come to the place where we do move out of His authority. And it's not just us moving, it is us flowing with, whatever words you want to put it, following, hearing, and obeying the Holy Spirit. Because that's the one that we're dealing with on planet. Really, that's the one Jesus dealt with on planet Earth. He did no miracle himself before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. So we're coming into this relationship, yes. And here's what I saw. He brought it back around, see. What I saw this morning, and really yesterday while down here praying, See, and it wasn't any a particular one of you, but it's one of you. Joel's army, not necessarily in this room, one of you. And walking up to that person that's bowed over, you know, how many years was it? Somebody help me. 18 years, that's what I thought, but I don't have my Bible. You can help me. 18 years is a spell. You know, you get conditioned to things after 1 year. 18 years, it's you walking up this time. You've seen it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but this time it's you walking up. This time, now again, I'm going to try to incorporate everything the Lord's been teaching through all of us. So, you know, I'm not talking about practicing on somebody. I'm talking about you walk up and this time you know. Don't ask me how you know. How do you know not to steal that grape at the grocery store? You know, don't you? Well, this time you know. He intends for you to do something about it. This is a Lazarus laid at your gate. You know, he told me one time, I'm not going to hold you personally responsible, son, for every poor person in the world. But I am going to hold you responsible for every Lazarus I lay at your gate. Well, sometimes, and I think it's going to be a lot of times now, he's going to be laying a Lazarus at your gate. Not just a poor person, but a cripple, somebody bowed over. And you know it. You've got the witness. And he's not telling you to pray for the sick, because he never told anybody to pray for the sick. What did he tell them? Heal the sick. Thank God you're good students. We're beyond praying for the sick and leaving them like they are. So it's your turn. Everything in you at that point, at that moment, you'll be glad for every hour you ever spent in worship, prayer, fasting, and the Word. And I think still, for most of us, especially in the beginning, you're going to feel unqualified. I'm not ready yet. But revival is coming, ready or not. Somebody sent me a dream that I only had a chance to read quickly before coming to the service today. I didn't print it or bring it with me. It's a God dream for sure. But this man was about to enter a race, and this is a stock car race, like the Daytona. Isn't that a stock car race? Daytona 500 type of race, and this guy's supposed to race in it. He knows he's supposed to participate in the race. See, what is our race, church? It's revival. That's the race that has been set before. That's the vision of the prayer center. And I don't mean the kind you schedule like I grew up with. Revival begins Wednesday night. We've invited special speaker so-and-so. It'll end Friday night. No. And thank God for anything anybody does, but that's not what we're after. We're after a supernatural outpouring where the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see it restored in the earth again. Amen? Well, in this dream, this guy is supposed to be in this race. He's supposed to be a participant. How many know races are dangerous and scary? You can die in a race. And he gets, I'm supposed to participate. First thing you got to do is put on that racing outfit. Isn't that right? Well, trouble of it is, he didn't have one with him. So he went down to the track and he tried to borrow another driver's racing suit. And he got the same answer as the virgins in the oil. Remember that? Remember the virgins? They all started out with oil, but by the time the race began, or let me say it this way, by the time the bridegroom came, see, the bridegroom came ready or not. Half of them were out of oil. And they went, lend me your oil. Let me borrow your race suit. He got the same answer. So he went running to the store where they supposedly sell race suits in this dream. And pardon me if I don't get it 100% correct, but I've got enough of it. He goes running to the store. And when he gets there where they sell these racing suits, first off, all the lights are off. Store is open, but the lights are off.
You got to pick your race suit in the dark. And remember this part for what I'm going to read in a minute. But because he was there, he managed to get the lights turned on. You know why they kept it in the dark? They were imitation race suits. Not real. Not flame proof. Not real. Not what you have to have if you're going to make it through a race. That's why they had the lights turned on. So you wouldn't be able to tell. But you'd give your money anyway. That part wasn't in the dream, but I added that because it's right. Religion will keep you in the dark, not tell you the truth. But you will not be ready for the race if you put on that suit. Because it's just pretend. See, Dave was so right when he told us about the real suit. You know what the suit is, right? Put on the whole armor of God. How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? By going through some motions first thing in the morning, singing Father Abraham? How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? You begin to walk righteously. How do you put on the belt of truth? First off, you study to know the truth. But what Dave taught us, no, you stop lying. Yeah, that's how you put it on. The helmet of salvation has to do with what Mark said a while ago. At some point, you're going to have to believe what the Bible says about you as a new creation. That's the helmet of salvation, see. I'm not here to teach on the armor today, but that's the real race suit. You're not going to get that playing church. You can give your money there, but they're going to keep you in the dark. They're going to tell you that your righteousness is separate from how you live, and it's not. No. If you're going to be in this race, and if you're going to survive it, you got to have on the real race suit. And that's God's armor. And that's why these 9 prophecies have meant so much to me, still mean so much to me. I'm still listening to them. I know Tim is still listening to them. We've still got more to learn. But see, when we're coming... Yes, sir. I see you again. Just pick it back up here. I see you again walking up to a person bowed over for 18 years, and there's nothing medical science can do. We could pick Tommy Perez here. We could pick our own Victoria, who was born with a partial brain. I have a friend in Florida named Jeff who's been standing with us for years, him and his wife. And he was courteous enough to call and leave me a voice message because they had a miracle happen. Now, this isn't Bronx Church, but they've been to Bronx Church before, But he's a friend down there, and he called to let me know that they know of a person who had a daughter born with a brain the size of a peanut. And it's been that way a long time. But at a recent service, that child, I don't know how old she is now, that child came back with a full brain. He says, I wanted you to know that it's happening. Might help you standing. He knows we have Victoria here. See, we've known that the whole time. God's able to do this. God makes brains. Amen? Nothing is impossible. Thank you for sharing that. It's you. I see it again. It's you walking up to a person, bowed over. 18 years. 18 years. Been to the doctors. Doctors, there's nothing they can do. This time, now God doesn't tell you every time, but this time, it's you. And you know it's you. And he's saying to you, heal the sick. Not pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Now what are you going to do? See, because God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary, supernatural, miraculous things. I love how Catherine Kuhlman would say, she had this down perfect. She says, Catherine Kuhlman has nothing to do with the miracles. Nothing. She had simply learned how to be a vessel through whom the Holy Spirit could do the work of Jesus, the work of the Father. That's our goal too. Amen? But this time, I mean, God's been able to do that with various people down through the centuries, but most of the time, because of unpurged flesh, because of lack of mortification, because there was still so many handles, most of the time, it didn't take very long for Satan to grab a hold of one of those handles. Money, sex, fame and fortune, wanting the glory of men, wanting to build an empire, whatever it might be. Wouldn't be long. Oh, here's a big one. Loving family more than Jesus. You just don't know. Maybe you do. But it wouldn't be long before he'd grab a hold of whatever handle was there and bring disgrace again on the name of Jesus. Well, he hasn't had us at this church all of this time learning how to mortify the flesh for that to be the kind of revival he's after here. Amen? Amen. So, I'm going to read a portion of this ninth prophecy. I'm probably not going to post it again. It's already posted at Dave's website. It's at our website. It's at Bronx's website. This one is called Move Out of My Authority. Now keep in mind, it's you walking into a room where there's a person bowed over, they can't straighten up, and they've been that way for 18 years. With that vision in your mind, listen to this portion from that prophecy. When you enter a room, it should light up. Oh, I didn't say the very first sentence of this prophecy. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And actually, the direct quote from Isaiah, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Amen? It's ordinary people that have learned to flow with the anointing. Now, see, that should not shock us when he says, when you enter a room, it should light up, because Jesus said about us, not just about him. He said, I am the light of the world, speaking of himself. But he said to his disciples, hello, disciples, you are the light of the world. Say it with me. When I walk into a room, it lights up. Okay. When you enter a place, no matter what the chaos, do not become part of the chaos. Do not become part of the confusion. Know this, that you have an answer for everything, saith the Spirit of grace. And let's stop for a moment. Stop for a moment. You have an answer for everything. Does Jesus have an answer for a person bowed over for 18 years? Does Jesus have an answer for a baby born with a partial brain? Does Jesus have an answer for someone born with multiple sclerosis or any other disease? See, there is no such thing as no answer in him. We've got to get that. All right. I want to read that sentence again. Know this, that you have an answer for everything, saith the Spirit of grace. Even when you do not believe in your natural mind that you have an answer, you have an answer for everything. You have an answer for everything inside of you, because the one that created all things dwells inside of you. Goes right along with what the Lord said through Mark. Next paragraph. Be a problem solver everywhere you go. Walk into chaotic situations and solve it with an anointing that breaks the yoke. Now there it is. Solve it with an anointing that breaks the yoke. You have one of two choices to make. The first will always be that of the senses. Every situation cries out to employ your natural senses. every part of your day and every part of any situation and circumstance that you come into with others in this life, the first answer or the first employment will be to come at your senses and employ your natural senses. When Alan and I teach on this, we talk about fixing it. And there is a place for that. I remember that time up in Ohio and just the nature of Angie to help, my daughter Angie. And we were kind of, I forget if we were going in or out of a restaurant, but anyway, there was a person in a wheelchair ahead of us, and Angie just runs ahead and opens the door to help that person leave. And I heard the Lord say, Angie is adding her grace to help in time of need. And that's a first level. That's the kind of heart that we all have. And a lot of Christians, good people, have had that. So hearing aids have been developed to help with those kind of things. I wear glasses myself to help with that kind of thing. All kinds of walkers, canes, wheelchairs, on and on and on. But see, I still believe God has a higher plan for people than hearing aids, glasses, stretchers, and bladder bottles. See, but our first tendency is to fall back on the natural. We want to fix it. There's a place for that. Okay, let's continue here. So the first answer or the first employment will be to come at your senses and employ your natural senses. Oh, man. I am testifying to you as the Spirit of truth. Divert yourself. Step back from the natural. Go into the Spirit and realize that you are first my son, my daughter, empowered with answers, empowered with grace. Empowered even to just stand in chaotic situations and exude an anointing that breaks the yoke, saith the Spirit of the Lord. When I was asking him about that, because Jesus normally would speak, Jesus normally would lay hands or something. And I was going, what about this exuding an anointing? Where's that in the Word? And he said, Peter's shadow. Just real quick, it's just Peter. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't say anything. All you had to do was get close. There you go. Just, can you imagine? Please do imagine this. Say, I'm going to say it again. God uses ordinary people. Can't we relate with Peter? I don't think it's an accident that it's Peter's shadow. Because we can all relate with Peter and his mistakes. I'm just saying it that way. Thank God none of us. No, I won't even say that sentence. Don't have to want to repent for lying. But isn't it amazing that it's Peter? The anointing on Peter got to the place all you had to do was get in shadow length. I've tried to play that movie in my mind 1,000 times. Because word would get out, would it not? Can you imagine the stretchers, the people that were brought knowing where Peter's probably going to walk? Can you imagine that scene? Boy, if I had somebody's in my family, we'd be carting them right there. So what time of day is it? How long is the shadow? Which way is the sun? It's going to be over here. Now, it's not the shadow. I think it's worded that way because he's being close enough. But he just walks by. And they start getting up off the couches. The lame start walking. The blind see. The deaf hear. Talk about revival. And Peter, Peter, the one we relate to, because he wasn't perfect. I'm going to say it again, revival is coming, ready or not. See, the one thing good about Peter, now Peter made more mistakes down the road. You know, we're in the book of Galatians where Paul talks about he had to still correct Peter later on. But, you know, what you never do find, Peter never went running after other gods. You never see Peter involved in any kind of sexual sin, drunkenness, anything like that. See, Peter loved the Lord. Can't go there right now. I about died here yesterday in a good way. Nobody could really tell it by looking. But it was a wonderful death yesterday. And I need more of it. All of us must decrease and he must increase. But he's still going to use ordinary people. Okay. I want to finish this paragraph. You and the Holy Spirit. See, this has got to become so real. It's so real in Catherine when you watch her, Catherine Kuhlman. She knew she was not alone. She knew it was not her. But she knew it was going to happen. Absolute confidence. Her favorite scripture, you'd never believe what it is. She said nobody would believe it until she tells them. And this was near the end of her ministry. I mean, she was really famous for the miracles at this point when she said this. She says, nobody will believe what my favorite verse is in the Bible. I'll go ahead and tell you, she said. And it's David's prayer. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know when David prayed that? After Nathan the prophet had told him that he was the one that had taken the sheep for himself. The vision, it was really Bathsheba. And had her husband killed. David's guilty of adultery and murder. And didn't even realize it was him until the prophet showed him. But when the prophet showed him, when the prophet showed him what he'd done, David's prayer, for he confessed his sin in that same psalm. But in that psalm he says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And Catherine said, that is my favorite verse because he's all that I have. He is everything to me. See, I'm jealous now. Jealous. I want a relationship with him like that. I want it. God's a jealous God. It's okay for me to be jealous for him. He's jealous of us for other gods. He doesn't want us going off after any others. If he can be jealous for us, I can be jealous for him. It's one kind of envy that's okay. I want to know you better than anybody. I think that's okay with him. I keep preaching so long my phone goes black. And I got to bring it back up again. See, I just keep seeing it every time that I just take a breath or a moment. I see that person bowed over again. 18 years, and he's just using that for one example. 18 years. I just got to tell you, it sure wasn't the faith of that person that got him healed. Was it? Whose faith was it in that case? The faith of Jesus. The faith of the believer. You. There's going to be times when they'll get healed on their faith. There's going to be times where it's just you. You're the believer in the situation. That's what this prophecy is talking about. Okay? Get back to it before it goes blank again. I'm going to read that again. He says, I am testifying to you as the Spirit of truth. Divert yourself. Step back from the natural. Go into the Spirit and realize that you are first my son, my daughter, empowered with answers, empowered with grace, empowered even just to stand in chaotic situations, and exude an anointing that breaks the yoke, saith the Spirit of grace. Now hear this. I have called you to be super people in a world that is spiraling down every minute. I have called you to be those with answers and those with an anointing, saith the Spirit of grace. When I read that, I cannot help but think when he sent out the 12. Heal the sick. You're going with us, right, Jesus? No. I'm sending you two by two. Jesus, we know you can do this. Jesus says to them, I'm telling you, you can do it. Because my Spirit is going with you. And you're going in my name. Is it any different now? Aren't we going in his name? And really, if anything, we have more than they had because the Holy Spirit was just with them. Well, he's with you too. But he's in you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. See, God is just lovingly through these nine prophecies just spoon feeding us. And if we'll obey what's in here, we're going to get to participate in the revival, not just watch it from the grandstand. We're going to have our racing suit on and be involved in it ourselves, not just munching on popcorn and drinking a Coke from the grandstands. Amen. I've called you to be a super people in a world that is spiraling down every minute. I have called you to be those with answers and those with an anointing. Say it with me. I am a super people. I am a child of God. I have answers because I have the anointing. There it is. See? He says, it's what's inside of you, not what's on the outside or what you know in your mind that will control your future. Tend to this garden. What garden? The one that's on the inside of you. He just got through saying it's what's inside of you. Tend to this garden, who you really are. The real you, the child of God. See, in me right now, all of the teachings from 1 John, all of Sermon on the Mount, all of those things are just rising up in me, just like from Genesis to maps, and it's going, don't forget who you are, where you're from, why you're here. We are here on a short amount of time. Doing warfare with an enemy so that the will of our Father be accomplished on planet Earth. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're here to rescue as many as we can from the lost species of Adam. But we're also to heal the sick, cast out devils, cause the lame to walk and the blind to see. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And those good works, he's for sure not talking about giving, praying, or fasting. Because he said you do all three of those in secret, not to be seen of men. Well, Lord, if it's not giving, praying, and fasting, what good works is it? Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Open the eyes of the blind. The works that I do shall you do also. Those are the works. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. Well, he's come on most of us a long time ago, but we just flat not believed the Word of God. Again, it's like Mark said at the beginning, you have to believe that what he says about you is true. If you want to know the truth, that is the helmet of salvation. I heard one preacher one time put it this way. I thought it was really good. He said, at some point, here's the helmet of salvation. At some point, you are actually going to have to believe that you are who God says you are. See, that's a renewed mind. And again, it's way beyond knowledge. See, I did it again. It keeps going blank on me here. Hallelujah. Father, in your name, we will finish this paragraph. I call those things in. Hallelujah. It's what's inside of you, not what is on the outside, or what you know in your mind, that will control your future. Tend to this garden. Go everywhere, speaking and sowing seeds of life, says the Spirit of the Lord. Now, and if you have an answer to your brother, your fellow Christian, or to the world that is out of the soul, he means the natural soul, and out of an unmeditated place, be quick to repent. Change your words and speak life. Let every part of your garden be growing seeds of life. Prosperity in your body, prosperity in your souls, prosperity to your finances, prosperity to your children coming in. And that's people being born again and lives being changed. Now the rest, that's only a small part of just that one prophecy, the ninth one. My goodness, what if we walked in there? Yes, I can do it. Come on. See, every time I see it again, that same vision. Now, I've tried to meditate that first trip when Jesus sent out the 12. And let's put you in there for a minute. You're one of them. Male or female? Come on. I love it that God chose Catherine Kuhlman. During the 70s, 60s and 70s, first black mark, that first mark against her, let's say it that way, she's a woman. Yeah, I get, well, most of the women are nodding their heads, you know. Secondly, she's a divorced woman. Well, now you know for sure God can't use her, right? And God does, I think he did that on purpose, same way he used Peter, on purpose. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary, miraculous, supernatural, impossible things. So put yourself, you've watched Jesus, you've been traveling with Jesus, you've watched him open the eyes of the blind, heal the sick, cast out devils. Oh my Lord, never man spake like this man. But then one day he turns to you and the person next to you. He says, I'm sending you to Jinx. I'm just picking a local town, Catoosa, Sepulpa. I'm sending you. I want you to go there and preach the kingdom of God the same way you've heard me preach it. Oh, and I want you to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. And at that moment, you're looking, who in the world is he talking to? Must be Alan, must be standing behind me or something. But he's looking directly into your eyes. And I'm telling you, he is looking into your eyes today. Revival is coming. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. It's not you. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. But we need to have our racing suit on. I tell you, that was a God dream. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? So he won't use. It doesn't say put on the whole armor of God so he'll use you. Is that what it says? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand those attacks from the enemy. Dave taught us eloquently. I've been going back and listening to the, take us back to those, Sue heard it. Let us return to those thrilling days of yesteryear. She did. She heard it in the spirit. She said, rewind and fast forward. Well, to me, that's go back to some of the early things. Not only in our own life, but I've been going back listening to this. They're all there. Just go to daveroberson.org. Pick one. They're all good. I recommend Paul's thorn to you for where we're going. There's two messages he did on Paul's thorn that are very essential. I've been emailing those links all around the world to people. You better have on your racing suit. Put on the whole armor of God so God will use you. That's not what it says. He'll use you no matter what. I mean, there isn't any more baby church than the First Corinthian church. Couldn't even give them milk. Come on. They didn't get meat on a regular basis. Paul said, I can't give you meat. They're on milk. And God's using them in the gifts. But he warns us. See, the warning is not put on the whole armor of God so God will use you. He'll use you now. No, you need to be able to withstand. When the enemy comes, because you listen to those messages, you're going to find out, what is Paul's thorn? It's because of the abundance of my revelations. Paul had become so dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Everywhere the man went, people got saved. People got healed. Churches began. Revival broke out. Everywhere he had to be stopped. He became a target. It's the point. Dave warns us over and over. When we start really walking in this, first, you're already a target just because you're trying to get there. You know, when's the best way to, if you don't want that tree there, when's the best time to cut it down? When it's just barely come out of the ground. Isn't that right? You don't need no chainsaw then. Just, you know, a pair of house scissors. You can just clip it. Isn't that right? But man, if you start becoming dangerous, like Paul became dangerous, you're a target. And that's when you got to have on the whole armor of God. You better be walking in righteousness. You need your racing suit on. Better be telling the truth. Better not be trying to build some empire for yourself. Looking for the glory of man. Am I preaching okay? Now, listen, little sheep. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I know many of you are hearing these messages and you're going, my God, I got filled with the Holy Ghost 10 days ago. You're making me a little bit afraid, Gary. No. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't be afraid. That's not what this message is about. You have got the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You are God's child. You are the apple of his eye. Psalms 91 is a great psalm for you. And Psalms, the 23rd psalm, which most of you know. Now listen. He gave a prophecy many years ago that said in these last days, which I believe we're in the last of the last days myself. In these last days, spiritual babies are going to be born already having teeth, able almost from birth to be able to digest the meat of the word. You're going to grow quick. Pray much in the Holy Ghost. Get that New Testament in you. Do like, if you haven't heard Dave's series on assimilation, hear it before the 24 hours is up. Get it in you, and then more important than that, do what it teaches. Get the word in you. Spend time in worship. Spend time in prayer. Now, you're going to be okay. I hear this. Call your whole family in. Call them saved. Call them filled, all of them. Call it that way now. Just call it. I don't care if it's who it is. Dope smoking Uncle Joe. I don't care who it is. Ask the Lord to send laborers into the harvest and believe he'll do that. And from now on say, I thank you. Joe, my Uncle Joe, is saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost and serving you. And he's off of drugs and alcohol and whatever. Just call the man. Speak. One of the words in that very prophecy says, speak the end result. Speak the end result. Jesus called Peter a rock when he was a wavering guy. But Jesus called him a rock from the beginning. Appreciate you guys putting up with me. Pretty soon, I better let him say it just a minute. Kiti ando lebre kumashi. Sharatoro makabatele freko busitere ma kole kumashindere bretorar yandataro bu. Sundele miki kayata mak akasa ati lebretuna. Ishuromo kubutiste lebrando muka sharatoro frato mi da lebrato se karamato fronda mati brata. A great harvest is upon you, says the Lord. The fields are white, more whiter than you know. And I have been raising you and preparing you for this very hour, says the Spirit of the Lord. But know this, the time is short. The time is short. Treat this like Koteando. Treat this like I treat it. It is your life. It is your life. This is what you've been looking for, and it is here, says the Lord. It is here. Learn of me. Drink deep from my Spirit. Drink deep from my Spirit, for revival is at the door, says the Lord.